good people to tell you about good old people's fun to come to down at 310 South Main. I'm telling you good people, you buy nothing but the best.
Dave TV. این کارها را فقط به دلیل علاقه زیاد به شما انجام می دهیم. Dave TV.
Okay, I think everybody's awake. Class will be dismissed early.
That'll do it.
I'm happier than R. Kelly at recess. David Lee Roth, Roth Radio, live in front of your naked, steaming eyes, and it's Grammy night, is it not? I think we've got all kinds of interesting things to talk about here this afternoon. We're going to go through the records here. Man, did we take a whooping for the whooping we gave, huh? Roth, bringing the pain. Everybody was upset with us. Animal, did you see some of the program directors who came in here when we started sharing some of our critiques of some of the latest music? Animal, weigh in. How are you this morning?
How you doing this morning, D-Ro, man? You know, I checked out a few, you know, but I was like in the cut. You know how I be doing it, man, you know?
Whatever you said, I'm with that. Be young in the background. Be bad. Give me guitar one time, sir. Track it up, baby. Everybody's live here. And we have our own voter block here. Sasha, how are you this morning, sweetie?
I'm very good. How are you?
Listen to that voice. Ow, my IQ just went down 14 points. I don't have enough points to give up this morning because it is Grammy time. We got a lot of music that we want to get through. But first, I want to deal with the issues that are certainly the most important, the most poignant issues to everybody here this morning. You heard the guy earlier, you know, and during the Dave TV advertisement there. That was the fellow who actually showed up in the car, you know, to pick me up this morning. And the car reeked of, like, air freshener, you know, the little Christmas trees. It smells like a hooker's
favorite.
It smells like a hooker's armpit. And don't ask me how I know that. But technically, that's really what it was, you know. And I had to get out of the limo and go and find a taxi and whatever. And you'll never guess who picked me up. You'll never guess.
Hutch.
Britney Spears.
Britney, huh?
I sat
on her lap.
I did. I sat on her lap the entire way here, and I was afraid for my life. I invited her to come over and come on up here and do some interview and actually dangle me over the balcony, Jacko Wacko style.
But about feeding you to a crocodile? Did she try that?
Give him another Red Bull here. What about this Britney Spears issue here? Don't people realize that you cannot control a little human bowling ball? How much does a little kid like that weigh? More importantly, how much does a bowling ball weigh? 15 pounds, something like that.
More than a little kid like that.
Yeah. Oh, sorry?
More than a little kid like that.
Yeah, well, nevertheless, I see this on airplanes all the time, too. You know, people who are carrying their little kids, and when the plane lands, they simply pick the kid up and hold him on their lap. They don't even put the seatbelt around him, or when the plane takes off, you know? You remember how many seatbelts we had to put together to hold you into the helicopter?
Yeah, man. We had to rig up something, man. We won't discuss that because you might get in trouble.
No, you were actually like two people. So we had to use the two seatbelts all the way across. You actually made it a lot easier to fly. How do you think it would be easy? Would you fit on Britney Spears' lap if she said to you, "You are my baby"?
You are
my baby tonight. And she said, "Get on my lap. I'm going to drive us to the 7-Eleven. Would you go for that?
Does it come with a shoehorn? I could fit with a shoehorn in a lap.
The shoehorn is for after you guys get married in Las Vegas.
Oh, man.
I wonder if she's actually aware of what she was doing here. Is she going down like California law requires all youngsters under 6 or weighing under 60 pounds? How can you possibly carry, you know, 60 pounds on your lap going anywhere realistically? What are we doing with our kids these days? And didn't I just realize that Kevin Federline now has declared that he wants an open marriage? Are you familiar with this, Sash? Do you even know what an open marriage is?
I do know what an open marriage is.
Because I was about to offer you one. No, he offered her an open marriage, and evidently there's some...
animosity.
No, I think it's called acrimony. Animosity. Hey, I get it. It's sort of a self-reflective pun.
Yeah, you got it.
Use a pun, go to jail. No, I think it's called acrimony until lawyers get involved, and then it's animosity.
Oh, okay.
I wonder how long Kevin Federline's actually going to last with this. What do you think? Long time?
No, not long, because he's still a party animal. He don't have it out of his system, you know? That's why when you get
party
married.
Animal, I get
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Roth Radio, yeah. David Lee Roth, going from New York to Philly, Dallas, Boston, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, West Palm Beach, and we're also worldwide, the David Lee Roth Nation, I guess. You know, James Farrakhan was a calypso singer before he became an icon, a political, a civic leader, and, you know, and I was a singer. I'm actually a celebutard. Oh, no, I have this dignification now, and I wear it proudly. 4 stars here. You realize, of course, that the other night, and I'm seeing it in the press now. Sasha, have you seen my pictures sitting next?
I still haven't seen it.
Sitting next to the fake Paris Hilton? You haven't seen that?
I want to see it.
When I understand that there's... Listen to that voice.
she wants to see it.
You,
I really want to see it.
It's like it's like pouring syrup when the pancake hits, baby. That's... Your words drip into my ear. This is amazing. I'm waking up very, very quickly here. Anyways, talking Britney Spears driving laps gets Brit in trouble. I don't think she's going to get any. You think she'll do time? What happens? Do they send her like to child care?
Isn't the fact that she was being chased by paparazzi part of the reason she said she did that?
Yeah, that's part
well. She was being chased by paparazzi. Well, obviously somebody got a picture of her. Okay, it's kind of like in National Geographic when the guy says, "And I was out in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, miles from anybody, miles from any landmass." And there's a picture of him standing on the boat taken from 100 yards away. you never wondered about that? There are things that I wonder about like that. It's like when at the airport where it says, "No seeing eye dogs." Who's supposed to read that, the dog?
I think so.
Are the people from PETA going to get after me now? Because I am... the world's most acclaimed celebutard anti-hero now from our record reviews yesterday.
Oh, yeah, you are.
Hmm. And I was just thinking, you know, come on, man. I don't think you need to be a musician. I don't think you even need to know how to play instrument at all to enjoy critiquing music, you know. We were talking about Dave Grohl and the Foo Fighters. I got that correct, right? There's the Foo Fighters. Last night, the Foo Fighters played rock and roll. Rock and roll lost. Okay, they can't all be gems, but it's early, and the coffee is just soaking in. 866-313-3733. We are freestyling early on through the news here before we get to, you know, deep topics. We're deep thinkers. Look at the look on Sasha's face. Why do you look at me when I say like that, when I say I'm a deep thinker? Are you dubious?
Oh, of course not. I
don't have the muscle that makes that noise. Can you make that noise again? B.B. King offers guitar as reward for dog. Don't tell me. Did they use his little dog as a drug doggy? Did you see that in the Page Six a couple of nights ago?
Yeah, I checked it out, man. That was very, very bad, man.
What was the story, Animal? What was the story with that?
I was drug dealers. smuggling drugs and little puppies up to New York City, matter of fact.
And what were they operating on the puppies and then sewing them back up?
Yeah, they had some guy that he worked at a veterinarian or something like that, and then he was like, he got arrested too and stuff, I heard. So he was like cutting the dogs open, sewing the dope up in them, then they would like cut the dogs open like a fish and throw the dog away, man.
They do that in China routinely, and there's a lot of people walking around in the city right now with fur trimming on their UGG knockoffs and on their winter gear and everything. Dial in on my sister turned me on to this in, what's it called, the Chinese dog and puppy trade, or puppy and cat fur trade. And a lot of what you're seeing in here, all the knockoff stuff that you're buying down like on 15th or whatever it is, when you see fur trim on it.
Oh, no.
In China, it's legal that they raise puppies for that, and they also use kitty cats and rabbits for that. But the rabbits cost too much because they eat a different kind of food and whatever. Dial it up on, it's on your... on the internet or whatever. My sister Lisa turned me on to that. At any rate, Drug Puppies. That sounds like the name of a good band.
Ooh, yeah.
I would vote for that for a Grammy. And the winner is Drug Puppies. I don't think that they stole B.B. King's dog for a drug puppy, but it would make some good copy. Anyway, B.B. King's dog, Lucille. Why this name? He's naming everything Lucille. This is like what Trump does. Everywhere that you go, do you remember Richie Rich comics?
Yeah.
And Richie had an R on everything. It would be on the very front of his limo and on his belt buckle and over his bed, on the bedstand, okay? And B.B. King seems to be doing that with Lucille. B.B. King's dog, Lucille, which is named after his guitar, has disappeared. And the legendary blues man is offering an autographed copy of one of his signature Lucille guitars in an effort. Okay, this is like Oprah Winfrey. She must have lost 230,000 pounds over the last 10 years, right? B.B. King must have given away 789 original Lucille guitars. Is that humanly possible? Play some blues. Play some B.B. King there, that's it.
Go ahead. Yeah, to get it, babe. Go ahead.
Close enough. They say that blues guitar won't sound right till it's been in a pawn shop at least one time, baby. So what do you think? How much is an actual Lucille guitar going to cost these days, B? What is that, a 335 Gibson or something like that?
Yeah, it depends on what year it is. And if it's a newer one of his signature models, it'll still be brand new, like $3,000 probably.
$3,000?
I mean, I'm just taking a guess. I don't know. But
for a little doggy like that?
That's it. Once he signs, it'll be worth a lot more.
Ah, how old is B.B. King now?
He's pushing 70 at least, right?
He's well over 70 now.
And he's got like 9 kids or something like that, right? He's a real blues guy. Okay, so I'm...
By 10 different girls.
We're not sure how she got out of the... Oh, come on, who even cares? But I guess the point is giving away another original guitar? I guess if you sign it, who cares?
He didn't say it's original.
Even better than the original thing. Do you think he even owns the original?
I doubt it.
Do you own your original guitar that you actually started on?
Nope.
Okay, because I remember the song Ice Cream Man that I played on the first Van Halen record. That was called an Eddie Arnold special that I got for $50 from the Crown City Pawn Shop in Pasadena, okay? And I learned to play all my flat picking skills and all my blues skills on that one guitar. And then I accidentally broke it on stage. I think it was in Louisville, Kentucky. Whatever. And when it broke, the strings are tuned to a E, so it's extra tight on the neck, and a piece flipped up, and that's how come I got 11 stitches right under this eye. See why I look so handsome, Sash? Kind of like G.I. Joe with his scar right there, baby? History for all the wrong reasons. I miss that guitar. Anyhow, Busta Rhymes is being questioned. You got any inside dope on that? Animal, you got any kind of inside view on what's going on with Busta? Have you kept up with the news? Is this now a connection? I'm wondering here. It says,
well, they're trying to say so, but it's still being investigated. They're going to come to this afternoon and give like the final report on it, I heard.
Okay. Detectives want to question Busta Rhymes about the fatal shooting of the rapper's bodyguard outside a Brooklyn warehouse. Rhymes was among several potential witnesses. Of course he was. Police, I wonder, was it, you think it was a hit? On Busta?
I don't know, but the paper was talking about...
I thought there was a brawl going on, and some guy tried to break it up. It was just a typical brawl, someone tried to break it up, and guns started flying.
It was just a typical brawl with a typical innocent bystander, with a typical AK-47, with a typical 32-shot banana clip, with a typical reverse banana magazine, typically duct-taped to it, with a typical ACOG sight, and a typical front grip for tactical purposes. This is typical.
Yep.
Hey, in some of the neighborhoods I worked in as EMT, that's considered evening wear. that's part of what you put on when you go out. That's strapping. We believe Busta Rhymes may have been on the street when the shooting took place, Kelly said. All right, well, he was somewhere in the city. I'm wondering now, does this give him credibility? Does this make him more likely to, obviously it's going to make him more likely to sell records, because look at what 50 Cent accomplished, you know, from the massacre or whatever. How many times did 50 Cent actually get shot?
Like
nine times. Wow.
In one sitting or?
Nine.
It might have been.
That's a good question, because I do not think it was in one sitting.
It was two.
I think there were two different sittings.
Yeah.
And it was sort of like a warm-up prep shooting. To where, you know, first you take two small caliber slugs. And once you get off life support, if you feel that this is a good look for you, then we'll unload the whole magazine into your abdomen. Nine shots, huh?
Now, didn't this guy that got shot, didn't he testify in a court case recently?
The guy who got shot had a history? You're kidding.
Yeah, he testified. He was the one was in the club when P. Diddy and J. Lo was in the club, and he testified in court that he saw P. Diddy with the gun.
That's it.
That's why I know that name from
Larcenous witnesses. This now, what happened? Remember when P. Diddy and J. Lo were involved in? This sounds like a typographical error, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like I'm Ron Burgundy and somebody's goofing on me, and somebody reversed the type and mixed the letters up. And it's P. Diddy and J-Lo, okay? They ran 11 red lights? Is that what it was? I think it was 11 or 15. I'm going to go with the more conservative.
Yeah, go between, give or take 12.
I want to give them the benefit of the doubt. They ran 11 not lights. And the cops chasing them the entire time. And then when they got pulled over, there was a 9mm. I believe it was under the floorboards, or was it actually under the car? Do you know?
It was under the floorboard, what they say.
How do you know that?
Well, that's what the paper say.
Came wrapped in the paper.
No.
It's always, if it comes wrapped in the paper, it must smell good. Knock it off. I don't even believe that. Come on. At any rate, who could possibly be bigger than P. Diddy at this point in time? He's got his own commercials on the Super Bowl, right? He's got his own thing on. He basically owns MTV at this point in time. J-Lo owns her own clothing line, etc. So I'm going to wonder if Busta Rhymes' credibility, if his street cred goes up, does he actually sell more records based on this? Sasha, are you now more interested in him now that there's been an actual dust-up and you realize he has actual street cred? What do you think?
Not really. I actually read somewhere that he ran away, just like P. Diddy and J-Lo. Like, he ran away from as soon as gunshots rang.
I'm certain that you read that, darling. However,
I did read that.
Now that he's involved, you know, he's implicated. I got to choose the right legal words here. We got a lot of high-tech lawyers listening in on the program, I'm certain here. But he's implicated, and that's good enough for me. Now I'm curious. Now I want to go listen to the record and see if I can detect moments of animosity.
David Lee Roth, Mornings. It's talking about the dope.
Don't forget, we got Devin Harris, former captain of the Jamaican bobsled team. The Jamaican bobsled team, former captain, because it's Olympics coming up. He's going to be our guest at 7:40 a.m. I ain't talking about dub, baby. Devin Harris, 7:40 a.m. He's coming up here, former captain of the Jamaican bobsled team. Let me hear that dub, baby. Roth Radio, 866-313-3733. I ain't talking about the Bella. Devin Harris, ID, coming in. He's the former captain of the Jamaican bobsled team. My favorite Olympic competing team of all time, whether it's the Winter Olympics or the Summer Olympics. Give me a little more heat on the microphone there, Hutch, if you would, just a little bit. He's going to be dropping in. He is now a motivational speaker. Sash, you aren't even familiar with the Jamaican bobsled team, are you?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, I'm gonna tell the story in a little while here. Actually, maybe I'll just tell the story now. With the Winter Olympics coming up, you know what? Play the dub first. Play the stuff, man. Keep it kind of low because it's a little more appropriate, right? You know, you just got the Jamaican thing. What happened was at some point back in the 80s, some fellas had gone to Jamaica with their wives on a vacation. This is how I understand the story, and perhaps Devin will clear up a few details here. But this is well known around the world here. They saw what I believe is Boxer Day right after Christmas, when there are great races made of like soapbox derby, and you comprise of any kind of wheels you find or whatever. And they race through the streets of, I believe it's Kingston, Jamaica, Trenchtown or whatever. And there's a lot of broken bones, and everybody turns out to watch them, you know, blast through the shanties and head down these San Francisco style hills or whatever. And these two characters who were, I guess, I may be wrong, but I think they were attorneys from New York City, said, "Wow, what if we financed a thing? It's like we're pushing a bobsled." And they started the Jamaican bobsled team. Maybe this may be completely incorrect. They may have actually started the team in and of the country itself. But because the whole thing of pushing the soapbox kind of derby, etc., looked a lot like bobsled, they figure, why can't we compete? It didn't matter to them that nobody on the team had ever seen snow before in their life, man. And they practiced by taking shopping carts, and I'm sure Devin is going to be sharing all his stories with us, by filling shopping carts with stones and pushing them through the sand by the beaches in Jamaica. None of them had ever seen snow. And they went to, I forget whichever place, he'll tell us where, but when they competed, they finally flew to where the bobsled competition was, whatever. It was the first time they had ever seen snow. They came in dead last, okay? And then they were all jumping around. I believe they were singing a Supremes song, and they were all eating the snow because nobody, they'd never seen it before. Well, plenty of other guys had competed in that division, but the coolest T-shirt of the entire Winter Olympics from that year that you could possibly ever own, the Jamaican bobsled team. Inspirational. They made a movie about it called Cool Runnings. You've seen some of these guys. My friend Leon is in it. There's a number of John Candy is in it. And that's all based on fact. You know, they had a dream. And it didn't matter to them that they had never seen snow. And they came in dead last. And here we are talking about them years later. I believe he might. I don't know if Devin is the captain, but he's certainly one of the main players here. Devin Harris, former captain, yes, of the Jamaican bobsled team. He's coming in at about 7:45. Don't go away here. It's going to be inspirational. I'm absolutely sure. Probably as inspirational as just a little quick note here coming from the news, and then I'm going to dovetail this into Grammy week here, because we also have Dan Aquilanti from the New York Post, my favorite newspaper, talking Grammys. Dan doesn't usually talk to folks about music. He usually writes about it, evidently, and he's going to be jumping on the phone at 9 o'clock. Okay, I promised I would dovetail this. Americans are taking sleeping pills like never before. I'm getting this off the news wire here. Americans are taking sleeping pills that are fueled by frenetic work days that do not so go gently into a great night's sleep. Well, we're going to do a few Grammy critiques here, and probably you won't need those sleeping pills. Give me a call if I create as much mirth and friction as we did yesterday here. I do maintain that you don't have to be a musician. You don't have to speak English as a first language. It's probably even better that you do neither in order to get along with us on our general critiquing here. All right? 866-313-3733. Hutch, are you ready to go on the first track here?
You bet your life, Doug.
I want to talk about it. I don't want to bet that. Not on this group here. Okay, best hard rock performance, and this is for solo, duo, group, or collaborative performances. Okay, this is Audioslave, and the name of the album is Out of Exile. It's the name of the song, Don't Remind Me, and this is best hard rock performance. Is this for a song or for overall for the album? Does anybody know? Does anybody care? We don't. Okay.
I think it'd be a hard rock performance, whether it be instrumental or vocal.
Song, please.
I'm sorry, it's for the song?
It is for the song.
Okay, this name of this song is Don't Remind Me. The song, the band is Audioslave. Go ahead and bang it, Hutch. Hit it up.
Play it loud, brother. Go ahead.
I walk the streets of Japan till I get lost, 'cause it doesn't remind me of anything.
Come on, kid. What did melody ever do to you? Let's go. Let's go.
Stop.
This is the Kelly Clarkson approach to making songs, right? You just sing as... Well, I'm going to say this. I'm going to look for the positive today. I think that their capacity to be repetitive and boring is actually quite masterful. What do you think, Brian?
Kumbaya, my love. Kumbaya.
Let's all hold hands. Animal. Go ahead, play it, man.
Yeah,
ahead,
play it up.
I want you to hold Sasha in your lap like Britney Spears and pretend you're going somewhere. I'm going to hold Hutch's hand here.
All right.
Okay, all right. You know, these guys are very outspoken. They're very political, and I understand that. I'm only going to go after the music today. I'm not discussing subject matter. I'm not discussing lyrical content. I'm not discussing saving the world. That's Bono's job. I'm just trying to save 30 or 40 radio stations here in the United States. And besides, you know, I'll just reflect out loud on that for a second here. I think that a lot of pop artists, and we're going to hear a lot of political reflections during the Grammys on the red carpet, backstage, especially after a little alcohol is consumed and everything. And I want to maintain just out loud one time that most pop artists shouldn't spend a lot of time speaking out loud because it detracts from their plagiarism. Okay. Audioslave. Who produced that, actually? Anybody know?
No.
Was that Rick Rubin? That doesn't sound like a Rick jam, whatever. I'm going to give it a D+. Give us a call, 866-313-3733. Go from the top of that same track, Hutch, one more time there. And let's see if Brian B is being unjust, if cruel, but fair.
Maya. That's actually the record.
Maya. Even the melody, watch.
Kumbaya.
Same notes.
Okay, all right.
I do love Chris Cornell, and I really love his solo album, Euphoria Morning. That album is great.
Great. Great Baroque kind of melodies, a lot more melody mongering in there. Maybe the rest of the album will prop this one up. But this is the song that they selected? Sash, you got a look on your face like you sat in something very cold and wet. What's on your mind, sweetie?
No, I really do like audio sex, and I do like the song. I don't think that
You just had a Freudian slip. You just said audio sex. What did you mean?
Audio Slave. I do like Audio Slave. I don't think this song was the best choice for rock metal performance out of this whole album, because this whole album is a lot harder than this song.
Oh, okay, so they're harder now. It's getting metal.
Well, they just turn it up and you add a lot of vocal overdub and whatever. Turn it up. Let's hear it.
Go ahead.
This is what we call a demo. This is like so simplistic. This is what you bring out of the garage or up out of the basement and create from there. Okay? I don't hear that there's a whole lot of melody to that. I hear a lot of shouting. Scrawny little tree needs a lot of tinsel.
Christmas is early, Roth Radio. Go ahead and hit the commercial there, Hutch.
Swing it out, man.
David Lee Roth in the mornings.
You are tuned directly to David Lee Roth. How about a little fire, Scarecrow? Sie haben sich direkt zu David Lee Roth dazugeschaltet. Wie wäre es mit etwas Feuer, Vogelscheuche?
Ow. Roth Radio. I'm David Lee Roth, large and in charge, baby. So large, I need a barge. 866-313-3733. DavidLeeRoth.com. Worldwide. Give it a little guitar in honor of the Grammys there, homie. Yeah, baby. Play it live. Play it live. Wacko Jacko. Wait a minute. I got a better news item here. These tie together here. It is Grammy time. It is music time, as you've probably discerned. It says here, news time. Nine Inch Nails frontman appears in a graphic PETA ad, and they're reflecting on what I brought up a little bit earlier here. A graphic 2-minute commercial from People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals featuring Nine Inch Nails frontman Trent Reznor, you know who that is, has been posted online by TMZ.com. Reznor appears at the beginning of the ad and narrates that the spot shows graphic footage of dogs and cats being tortured, killed, and skinned in China for the fur trade industry. You heard it here first. You guys were looking at me like I had six eyes, you know? You were looking at me like Tom Gisano looks at me, like a parrot looking at a ringing telephone, uncomprehending. But no, this is evidently becoming an issue here. Nine Inch Nails isn't up for anything in the Grammys at this point, are they?
Yeah, next cut on that
Is it the next cut?
Yeah, it is.
I told you, there's going to be a lot of political connotation tied into this critique here. And you know, when you make fun of somebody in music and it gets such a strong, high-impact reaction, it's usually not because of the music. It's because of the content of the lyrics or the political disposition of the individual who made the music. You follow? I can go and I can sing, you know, happy birthday to you. God, that melody sucks and the lyrics are too simple. And people will call up in mass and say, hey man, what do you got against birthdays? No, really, that's what's been occurring here. So, you know, if I go and I slam Nine Inch Nails for the music or the melody or just having fun. Come on.
What do you got against dogs?
Yeah. What do you got against dogs and cats, man? Are you wearing fur right now? No. Oh, wait. I'm just sitting in front of the television like you guys are going to be tonight. And I'm going to talk to the television screen just like you are tonight. And I'm not going to say a lot of nice things just like you're not tonight when you talk to the radio. Hey, what the hell? A lot of you are looking at the radio right now trying to decide if you're going to turn the volume down. Take your hand away. I talk to the radio all the time, and I don't say a whole lot of nice things, but they're always funny. I think if there's a little sense of humor and a little general support, all is good. A little critique, a little salt in the rice makes you want to come back for more. Anyways, Wacko Jacko also is going to sing papal songs of prayer. Michael Jackson could sing some of the prayers written by the late Pope John Paul. Does this come under the jurisdiction of PETA as well? It should. What category would that be? Is that religious? Is that children's music? All right, knock it off. The Hand That Feeds. Again, Nine Inch Nails. And this is from Trent Reznor and the gang. Okay, they're up for Best Hard Rock Performance. Don't forget also that Dan Aquilanti from the New York Post, he is the reigning music critic, is going to be talking Grammys with me at 9 o'clock this morning. Stick with us here. I'm going to bring up this specific song. I've been a Nine Inch Nails fan since the beginning, and the videos are smoking. Sweetheart, would you like to describe the body part you just grabbed when I said the name Nine Inch Nails?
I grabbed my chest.
Yes, you did. And I listened to the replay on the computer because we're streaming and everything in the background there, and you did have a Freudian slip. You did not say audio slave. You said audio sex.
Did I?
Yes, you did, baby.
It's because I'm looking at you.
Yeah. Madam, I am praying. I've been on the phone before, like with my headset, and actually started carrying on with a girlfriend, discontinued the call, but still had... That makes it like audio sex, right? This is The Hand That Feeds from the track, that's the track, and it's from the album With Teeth. Ah, I like that title. Interscope Records, you guys are always around the front bumper of the culture, aren't you? This is Nine Inch Nails. Go ahead and bang on it, Hutch. Hit it, white boy.
Yo!
Hey, good thing we're not in a helicopter.
That was the crickets at the beginning.
Did I miss crickets? Yeah. Put them on again. Hold on. Right. I don't want to miss a single cricket, lest I am overtly critical and I miss the cricket that would have sent me over the rainbow.
All right,
here we go.
I got it cranked all the way up. Everybody listen.
No, though, that's like which side is shaved with rise.
There you go.
My new Durex condom is ribbed. I take it. Good. I like it. Good voice. Great song. Great. Turn it up. I give it an A+. Knockout right out of the freaking gate. You can always tell who the winners are right at the starting gate. Lunging, that is just smacking. Crickets included. Even the crickets. Put it on from the very top again. Yes, man, I get so excited.
It actually sounds like their early stuff too.
Oh, and it sounds aggressive, and it's got teeth, and it's got a little humor, and he sounds suitably distant. You know he's wearing sunglasses when he sang this. Come on, put the crickets on, white boy. Hit it up there. This is so good. How much of this stuff have we wandered through till we got to this song? How much have we waded through till we got finally a song you don't have to scrape off your shoe? Here we go. Come on, Trent. Deliver the groceries, homeboy. Let's go. You're keeping in step. Got your chin held high and you feel just fine. Cause you do. Yeah, you do. What you told. What you told. But inside your heart. Inside and it's cold. It's hollow and it's cold. Let it go. Just how deep do you believe? So. Will you bite that hand that feeds? Will you chew until it bleeds? Can you get. All right, put the loop back on. That absolutely wins the entire Grammy Award show so far. Agree to disagree? What do you think, Animal? Is that the stuff or what, huh?
Yeah, man, that kind of get to your soul, man. Keep you pumping. I like that beat, man, especially the crickets, man. That's dope, man. I like it.
For that old Montgomery feel.
Yeah, man.
There's nothing.
Definitely get moving.
There's nothing south about that. That is hyper electric. That's gritty stuff. That's a lot of dirt under the fingernails, man. High quality stuff. Wow.
Coming from that smoking environment, what you think?
Oh, man, he knows his way around electric guitars, and somebody's been very close to a dance floor recently. Top grade. 866-313-3733. You know what? Let's do one more tune here, and then whoever can ring in on whatever tune here. Are you good for the next one?
Oh, yeah.
You want to go? Because this is a classic here. This is Bob Plant, Robert Plant. You know him from The Mighty Rearranger is the name of the album. This is the Led Zeppelin voice, one of the most seminal voices ever. And some voices age well, and some of them stink and sink, okay? So this is part of the judgment element when somebody gets into the marathon element of their career, like Elton John. Still sounds great, okay? Mick Jagger, well, he spends more time running around than actually singing, but he runs great, okay? And you can name these, you know, folks who have arrived without aging their voices at all, okay? Let's see if that actually happened here, and let's see if there's actually any kind of inspiration when it comes to the songwriting or whatever. Or is it just another Zeppelin knockoff? I don't know the tune. Go ahead and bang it. Here we go. Tin Pan Alley. Plant?
Live on from the glory so long ago and gone.
Smooth moves, X-Lax.
Turning down a talk show.
Good album.
The humor on the couch. I'm moving up to higher ground. I found a new way out.
Good. No Zep reference. Good, good. Modern. Sexy stuff, man. Sexy.
Spare a soul.
shows and barbecues and lounges by the pool.
Oh, yeah!
Late night conversations filled.
I'm gonna sample the old record here.
Yeah, yeah!
My beers may flirt with cabarets.
Yeah, yeah!
The rebel yell.
Come on,
yeah! Moving up to higher ground. I must escape the.
Okay, open up, open up. Here we go, come on. Paging Robert Plant, chorus, please. Robert Plant, please have your chorus ready. Here we go, here we go. Come on, Bob, wake up. Let's go. Paging Bob Plant. This is your last call, Mr. Plant.
Let me suspend my thirst for knowledge.
Get out of here. Come on. Okay, sorry, sorry. He got it up. He got it in. Didn't get it off.
Yeah.
Do you hear what happened in there? What do you think happened, Animal? What did you miss most about that song?
But when it first came on, you know, I was kind of like feeling it, but like the beat should have been more upbeat, I think, when it was, you know.
It didn't go nowhere.
It didn't
go anywhere.
Anywhere.
It started out like it was, and all of a sudden it just like.
Yeah, where did the chorus? Not even that you need a chorus, but there's got to be what's called development, okay? I understand cinematic treatment, and that may be a great driving scene when somebody drives through the human desert you follow, or if somebody is flying over acres and acres of tundra or something like that. I get that. That's a cinematic kind of a treatment. But I don't know that that actually qualifies as a development when it, you know, you have three moves in there.
You're in the dark room with the candles and your chick kind of thing for a long time.
Yeah, but your chick is going to demand some development. You know, all foreplay and no delivery of the groceries makes for alarmingly short career and short relationship, huh? Sash, what do you think of that? Are you a Robert Plant fan?
I am a Robert. I'm kind of a Robert Plant fan. I liked his voice in this track, but it was so stagnant that I couldn't get into it.
Well, it didn't develop into something. It's okay to start there. It's okay. Most of my relationships, either with music or with girls, start off going, "Hey, I got an idea." And then it escalates into the full Tarzan yell. 866-313-3733. Brian, 9-inch nails. Talk to me. Roth Radio, you're in. Go ahead, brother. Brian, you're on.
D, double D.
What's up?
That song sounds just like You Really Got Me. That's the one that put you guys on the map, and they're just taking the riff from you guys.
Are you serious? Now, these kinds of things.
I'll play a little You Really Got Me on that, and you'll just.
Okay, you know what, Brian? We're going to go to a spot here, and when we get back, we're actually going to try that, because sometimes this stuff sneaks past me, okay? Like my dad used to say, I have a mind like a steel trap, and nothing ever gets in. So we're gonna actually try that. We'll superimpose the riff, and we'll come right back to all of you right after this. Hit it up, baby. Yeah!
David Lee Roth in the mornings.